Today we're considering Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through the end of the chapter. It says this, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." So God promised, and since he is the highest and greatest, he promised upon himself. Abraham could believe the impossible promise that he and Sarah would have a son because of him who made it. Verse 14 says, "He made this promise saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you." God promised an old, barren couple. Not only were they too old to conceive, but they were barren in the first place. It seemed like an impossible promise, yet God swore upon himself. Verse 15, "And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise." This promise was not fulfilled instantly. Rather, Abraham had to wait for the fulfillment. And as we know, after the fulfillment, he was tested and told to sacrifice the only son, which God gave him, the fulfillment of this promise. Verse 16, "For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation, as an end of every dispute." So back then, when there was a dispute, it could reach a point in that culture where they would take an oath by someone more important than themselves and speak the truth. Assuming none would lie having done this, these oaths would end the dispute. It was a sure thing. It's hard for us to understand that, of course, in our cultures. Lying and deceit is so rampant. But then, if you gave your word by someone greater than you, it was sure, and it was attested to. In verse 17, "In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath." So God made a promise to man. He being God Almighty then, and being unable to lie, cannot break his promises. God is a promise-keeping God, period. Verse 18, "So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie." So God's word does not change, and his character does not change. So his word stays true, and he cannot lie. The result and the point of this is for us. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. If you've done this, take not just encouragement, but strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. What is this hope? In short, it's Jesus. Oh, weary brother or sister, you who are tired, you who battle sin, you who feel the sting of those who would mock, you who feel the pain of the effects of sin, those who feel the pull of unrelenting sinful desires, those of you who are struggling with loss, look, for behold, there is hope right in front of you. Take a hold of it, for God keeps his promises and has given the promised one who would crush the serpent's head and crush all that came with the fall and take those things which would do you harm, and he nailed them to the cross. Verse 19, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil." It is sure, it never slips, it's steadfast, it's immovable. It enters within the veil, it's a hope that enters into the very presence of God. Verse 20, "Where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Jesus Christ is our great high priest forever, period, the end. And therefore we hold fast to him, because God keeps his promises. He is a promise-keeping God. His word is sure. His promises are as sure as the fact that he will never change, that his word will stand forever, that he is eternal. Our Savior, our priest, the promises are eternal, and therefore we rest in them and not in ourselves.